ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Some men are born with the gambling instinct. They'll bet on anything, hence the wedding ceremony. They'll wager on anything from horses to how many peas there are in a pod. Well, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee is one of these, with one added ingredient. If he asks you to bet on how many peas there are in a pod, you know he secretly opened that particular pod, counted the peas, and stuck it together again. Well, tonight he's about to set up a dead cert, which in this case is not the waitress at the Gosport and Havant Lord Nelson nightclub noshery, where the fleet elite meet to eat.
Oh, good evening, waitress. Table for two, please.
Help yourself. Fish is off.
I've never known a time in this here establishment when it was not only off, but positively reeking.
Papa, steaming up the river, it's you out.
Hello, Myrtlebach.
You too out.
Hey, through the accident of marriage, and probably through another accident as well, you may have the honour to be related to me, but as of this tempest which is fugitive towards last orders, please, I and my naval companion are here as bona fide customers. So get serving.
Where's Lord Nelson himself then?
Nunky's out and the chef's gone.
Hmm. What a pretty way she has with words, eh? Everything's either off, ah, or gone. Pity she didn't have the benefit of a hair edification like what I did.
And six lessons from a correspondence which he never paid for, and he thinks he went through eating an arrow.
But what's it matter? Who but a Flambeau Gessley Polytechnic reject would want to learn English anyway?
Now, look, don't you start. Look, Myrtle, my nautical comrade and I require for the eating of two of your specially prepared, nunky-cooked, homemade meat-back pies. I was delivered by the van from the factory at 10:30 this morning.
Pies are off.
Well, in that case, we'll have a pair of Hungarian goulashes.
Two stews.
And as for myself, I shall have a portion of French fried potatoes.
An handful of chips.
And a few asparagus tips as a sad salad.
And a dollop of greens. What's Druid Bonce want with his?
Oh, well, now, I think I'll have a handful of chips. Here, Chiefy, what are these asparagus tips then?
Well, isn't it obvious? They're tips what come all the way from asparagus. Go on, have some. You'll love them.
All right. I'll have a dollop of greens as well.
Right. Two stews, greens, and chips. That'll be 10 bob.
And very reasonable at 50 new pence of the price. Here, go see favour, lady. While I go and find a table. And don't forget the knife and fork.
All right. Here, hang on. I thought you were taking me.
I just have. I don't shut up. Oh, good evening, Mr. Phillips, sir. Fancy seeing you here. I take it you popped in to partake of some perky patter and a palatable pasty before you pop up and bow out again.
You were in a rut there, weren't you?
Yeah, I know, sir. Yeah, I thought I was going to do myself an unpardonable for a moment. Well, sir, if you care to join us at my table à d'oeufs for your cup of char and a wad, I should be very honoured.
Table à d'oeufs? Yes. Oh, a table for two.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you've conned Goldstein into paying again. Hmm?
Certainly not, sir. He volunteered. As the old Welsh saying goes, a bard in the hand is worth stew in the mush. Or perhaps you haven't heard that saying.
No, not until now, and I still wish I hadn't. I yes. Take it this is your table here, Chief.
Yes, it is. How did you guess?
All the knives and forks have gone.
Oh, yes, sir.
I can hear them clanking in your pocket.
Yeah, well, my error said, unfortunately, my Anki hasn't come back from the laundrette, so they're rattling about in there without nothing to wrap them up. My word. Upon my word, what a startling change in your masculine appearance.
Hmm? Oh, what do you mean?
It's a transmogrificentification, sir. It's them.
Them?
Yeah, them sideballs, sir. Oh, they've given you all the magic ingredients of a peppermint-flavored Rudolph Valentino. Who will double your pleasure and double your fun.
Gosh. I thought I looked more like a much younger Doctor Who.
I've never seen a gent, sir. No, I'm working at that time, sir.
Yeah.
But what was it made you decide to change your entire appearance, eh? Was it the new rule allowing naval personnel to grow their hirsute appendages down to their left and right loops?
Well, if you must know, Chief, I bought one of those blades that craftsmen throughout centuries have forged, especially for me. And it doesn't work.
Well, why not?
not?
Well, after I shaved, I realized I'd forgotten to put it in the razor.
Good pleasure. Do you seriously tell me, sir, that those magnificent sideburns that must be at least a 16th of an inch long have sprouted, nay, leapt out of your chops since this morning?
Yes, well, actually, I was hoping no one would notice.
Not notice? Not notice? Your Uncle Bert Humperdinck to the knife.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Please believe me when... You're kidding.
Ah, please, Mr. Phillips, sir. Take my word for it, sir. Don't think. Don't think that you'll drive the Dolly Birds potty, sir. They'll be queued up to tear your uniform to bits. Warp by weft.
Do you really think so?
Certainly, sir. Them sideboards are positively enhancing your lug holes as to the manables. What the effect of a full set, i.e. a moustache and a beard, would be on the ladies of the opposite sex, one dreads to think.
Yes, I know what you mean. I'm jolly handsome now, but with a full set, I'm absolutely irresistible.
Yeah, have you noticed, sir, our Commander Murray has made no attempt to follow your manly example?
No, he hasn't, has he?
No, sir. If I was saying to Commander Murray only this afternoon, have a go, sir, I said. And I could see jealousy rearing its ugly head. But he said he reckoned that he could grow a better full set than you could in half the time. But I, for one, didn't believe it.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Ah, typical. Thinks himself everybody. He's always been jealous of me, afraid I'll take his job off him. Ha! Again.
Well, it's up to you, sir. It's up to you, sir. If you want to pick up the gauntlet what's been flung down to the Merton Mar and aftershave, you do so.
I jolly well will. I hate chaps who talk behind other chaps' backs.
Oh, good evening, you chaps. Didn't expect to see you here.
Permission to grow a full set, sir. Trust you to haggle. Stalling for time, are you? If it's all the same to you. Permission to grow a full set, sir. I'm only asking out of courtesy. I don't have to.
Mr. Phillips.
I could grow one like Father Christmas if I wanted to. Nothing you can do about it, so there.
Yes, all right. Permission granted.
At last, thank you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and get myself a cup of tea and a wad.
Yeah, good idea, sir. And while you're up there, you might ask Goldstein to hurry up with our pair of galoshes.
Certainly, Chief. For you, with pleasure.
What's the matter with little Lord Fauntleroy this evening?
He's jealous of you, sir. Not that he said so in as many words, of course.
Jealous? What of?
Well, as I understand it, sir, someone who wishes to remain anonymous in his mouth has been putting it about that you said that you could grow a better full set than he can in half the time.
Why? Well, obviously I could.
Oh, then it's true, sir.
No, besides,
sir, the same anonymous person also claims that Mr. Phillips has been putting it about that he can grow a better full set than you can in a quarter of the time, and that you won't accept the challenge.
Does he?
Yes.
Right, that settles it. I shall grow a full set as well, in an eighth of the time. If I feel in the mood.
Speaking like an officer and a gent, sir. Not that one likes to intermingle with one's superior squabbles, but how about me being the umpire and I'll judge the results in 14 days?
Yes, certainly. Mr. Phillips?
What is it now? I'm off duty, you know.
You're still under my command. Over here, please.
Ah. Oh, it's just like you to pull rank in a calf.
Never mind. I'm about to take you down a peg or two, Mr. Phillips.
With respect, sir, you and who else?
Me, my moustache and beard. That's who else. I'm challenging you to grow a better full set than me in 14 days.
Done.
The bet is out. Which reminds me, would either of you two gentlemen like to wager on the winner? And I'll hold the stakes?
Yes, certainly. Here you are. I'll have £5 on me.
I'll match that. Now, where's my purse? Oh. £4. Yes, £4 and 47 bright new pence on me.
Miss Kane, sir, Miss Kane. £9, 47 new pence in the kitty. Now then, it's up to me to place the first non-biased wager before I open the book and collect the rest of the lads aboard our glorious flute of that dirt. Now then, let's have a look at the runners. Yes, I like a dead cert. Yes. 100 of Pertwee's new pence on our gallant captain.
You rotten swine.
Well, he is our captain, sir, and rank will out.
Thank you, Chief. Now, if you don't mind, I've lost my appetite. I shall go and eat somewhere else.
So shall I. And I shall go and eat in a different somewhere else from the somewhere else that you're going to eat in.
Good. So shall I.
Ha ha! I'm
got him. I've got him. You go see him.
Ah, I was wondering when you were going to remember me.
Yeah, but never mind that. I'll set up a beauty this time. Now then, where's them Hungarian goulashes that we ordered?
Oh, I can tell you that. In my tum. Well, you was busy chatting and they was getting cold, so as I paid for them, I ate them.
Well, never mind that, Guts. Something more important has come up.
What?
How much do you want to bet on who grows a better beard in a fortnight? Mr. Murray or Mr. Phillips?
Oh, 6 new pence on Mr. Phillips.
Good lad. This is a walkover. If you'd like to wait in here in the wardroom, Captain Pogey, sir, I shall attempt to find Commander Murray and Sub-Lieutenant Phillips with Alacrity, sir.
Where are they?
Well, one's not too sure, sir, but last seen, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips was rubbing his face with Dr. McGonagall's genuine old-fashioned, all-purpose, fully guaranteed establishment 1891 air restorer. As used by Yul Brynner after the King and I, sir. Commander Murray, on one's other end, was giving his face the eat treatment under a sun lamp, and is now so aglow, this mush resembles the red lamp at Thor House. Of ill repute.
So they really are having their beard raced.
Yeah, by the look of them after 4 days, sir, you'd still not never know.
Oh, doesn't surprise me. They're no good at anything.
Yeah, well, while I'm fetching them, sir, Petty Officer Punter Perkins, our wardroom steward, will attend your every need, sir. Shall we take?
Can I get you a dot or fingers, Captain Bowley?
No, thank you, Perkins. I fail my dear wife Ramona's breathalyzer test when I get home. A grapefruit juice would be splendid.
Oh, certainly, sir, if you think so, sir.
I gather you're called Punter because of your inside knowledge of racing.
Very true, sir.
Have you got any dead certs for today?
That would be telling, sir, but I'll let you know tomorrow.
Please do. Now, with your inside information and knack of weighing things up, you're the very man I want to see. I have a certain amount of pocket money. I mean, money. to wager on this beer contest.
Ah, now that is an intriguing one, sir. But I have studied the form of both entries.
Oh, steady. And what is your summing up?
Well, the way I read it, sir. Oh, another grapefruit, sir?
Yeah, no. One's enough. No. Go on.
Well, there are already other starters' orders. On Monday, the white flag was up, and they were off! And at the start, it's lovable Leslie's sideboards leading Madcap Murray by a fraction of an inch on both sides. And as they enter Thursday, there's nothing in it. But there are still 10 days to go, and anything could happen in a race of this length. But wait! As they turn Monday week corner, there's a definite hint of blueness on Madcap Murray's chin. And now they're coming up into the final 3-day marker. And it's chin and chin with not a whisker of tooth between them.
And who's winning?
But lovable Leslie's moustache is fighting back. And it's definitely ahead of Madcap Murray's spouting jowls. And as they approach the final Saturday, it's still beard to beard. And I would say, as they go past the winning post, I would say, it's lovable Leslie.
I'll back him. 2.5 new pence each for your lovable
But it could be Madcap Murray. We should just have to wait until the judges have seen the photo. Well, it's a glorious day here at Troutridge, and the ladies' hats are adding a touch of...
Oh, shut up and give me another grapefruit juice.
Oh, apologies all round, sir. But wherever I looked for Commander Murray and Mr. Phillips, sir, there they were.
Well, I can't hang about here any longer.
Incidentally, Percy, I gather you are taking the bets on the beard contest. I want 2.5 new pence, each way double, on both of them.
Stun me!
The last of the big spenders. Yeah, done, sir. You're on, sir. You're up the creek without your proverbial, sir. Mr. Murray's going to walk it.
Thank you, Goldstein. That'll be all.
No, not quite it, not, sir. I mean, while we're chatting away here quietly in your cabin, I want a word with you.
Oh, not now, Goldstein. I am rather busy.
I know, sir. Trying to grow a beard and failing miserably, I'm happy to say. But this is more important. Almost an international problem, really.
Oh, dear. It's going to be home rule for Wales all over again.
Oh, what is it? Well, it'll be Navy Week shortly. Them will be coming down with him.
Him?
Yes. There, lad. The English him. The prince. Him who was made head of our mob at Carnarvon Castle.
Oh, that him.
Of course. Now, in case you are thinking of inviting him aboard, I want your assurance that I'll be in the front rank during the inspection. Anne Morpeth has sent me a bag full of her own-made Welsh cakes to give him. She made them herself with Welsh butter, handful of Welsh currants, and half a Welsh egg.
Oh, I don't think...
Ah, typical of the English. Give him to us with one hand and take him back with the other.
That'll be enough, Goldstein. And I hope you told Sub-Lieutenant Phillips that I wanted to see him.
I did. And you're both welcome to each other. Because he wouldn't let me present my Welsh cakes either.
Goldstein!
So I shall eat them myself.
Now what? I've been asked to report to the captain.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I'm the captain, but I think you must be on the wrong ship. This is HMS Trikebridge.
I'm aware of that. I've served on her for 12 years.
Really? It's odd. Never seen you before? Well, nice to have had you aboard. We must meet up again sometime. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm waiting for Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
I am Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Perhaps you couldn't recognize me because of my beard and my moustache.
What? You couldn't have grown all that lot overnight. You look like Captain Kettle during a barber strike.
Seeing is believing.
It's that ointment. That's what it is. It's that ointment.
I'm not prepared to divulge my secret weapon. However, if you must know, I fought beard day and night. It was a question of mind over matter.
It's incredible. With the little mind that you have, I wouldn't have thought it mattered.
In any case, why do you run a gap between your sideboards and the beginning of your beard?
I haven't thought that bit yet. I'm thinking that bit today. Besides, criticism coming from someone who hasn't even managed to show so much as fuzz yet is pretty petty.
I was giving you a start.
Jealousy.
Who says I'm jealous?
Me, my moustache, and my beard. That's you.
Oh, well, it doesn't suit you. When I grow mine, it will be of a much superior quality.
Superior quality? You look like a baby's bottle.
You look like a badly knitted rug.
At least I can knit one.
Who says I can't?
Me, my moustache, and my beard.
Oh, stop saying that!
I shall say what I like.
Not in my cabin, you won't.
Who says I won't?
Me, my baby's bottle face, and my superior rank.
I knew you'd bring that up. I hate bad losers.
I am not a bad loser.
All right, then.
All right, then.
All right, then.
All right, then.
I said that.
All right, then.
All right, then.
Exactly. All right, then.
Precisely. I hate bad losers.
I haven't lost yet.
Temper, temper. Now, temper's bad for growing beards, you know.
If I want to grow a beard, I shall grow a beard. And I do want to grow a beard, and I warn you, I'm starting now. Good morning.
All right, then.
Oh, dear, what's wrong with my poor Stevikins this evening?
I've been thinking beard, and it's not working.
Perhaps that naughty old sun lamp burnt your follicles.
No, I don't think so.
Still, the swelling's gone down now. And your ears are beginning to look quite normal again.
Oh, good.
It was all my fault.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was, darling. You'd never have looked like a side of beef if I hadn't lost those silly old instructions.
Oh, my poor Rita Kittens, I must have looked an awful sight. Still, you took it terribly well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did promise for better or worse. I just wish I'd remembered you should have been under the lamp at a distance of 6 feet for 1 minute instead of 1 foot for 6 minutes.
Why wouldn't have minded the intense heat and the slight sunstroke if only it had done something? What can I do? Somehow or another, I've got to grow a bigger beard than Mr. Phillips by Saturday.
Oh, relax, dear. It's bound to work. I mean, after all, you are the captain.
Can't relax. He's thinking beards tonight.
I know. The stables.
What?
Fertilizer. But Daddy always kicks it and puts it on the lawn, and the grass grows like wine.
Yeah, very nice, dear. It's all the same to you. I think I'd rather lose the contest.
Oh, you are an old fusspot. Still, perhaps you're white. I mean, you don't want a green beard, do you?
Yeah, and I don't want the entire ship's company rushing up wind the other side of the deck before they salute me.
I know the very thing. Bouncing Betty sheen on shrine oil.
Eh?
Bouncing Betty, my favorite horsey. I mean, it's for strengthening her coat and making it gleam. I always use it on her before every gymkhana.
Oh. Well, I suppose it's worth a try.
Oh, good boy. Now, I always keep a drop in the cocktail cabinet. Daddy drunk it once by mistake. Mummy reckons she'd never seen anyone go up those stairs so fast. She was up there for for 2 days, and we all had to use the diamond stud.
It must have been inconvenient.
Oh, it was. Still, when he eventually came down, his bald head had a lovely shine on it. Now, just let's give it a shake. Interfermented. Well, perhaps it'll make it work all the faster. We'll see how it goes, and if it works, I'll ask the vet to make up some more for you. Now, ready?
Is it going to hurt?
Oh, you are a big baby. Bouncing Betty never complains. Now here I go.
No, that's fine. No, you're absolutely right, Rita Kint. I was being a big baby. It doesn't hurt. Oh, quick! I'm on fire!
Oh.
Put me out!
Oh.
Send for the brigade! No, there isn't time. Use the service siphon.
Oh, now stop making
fun. For Peter's sake, don't argue! Squirt me before I become a skeleton! Don't not on my knees, on my face!
Oh, well, it wasn't my fault. I was aiming properly.
Don't bother. It's calming down now. It's all right. I'll take it. Lieutenant Commander Murray speaking.
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee here, sir. You all right?
Yes. Why?
I have nothing, sir. I just thought I heard somebody going.
It's just owls. There they go again.
Excuse me, sir. Where have you got your telephone?
In the conservatory, of course.
Oh, yes. Well, that'll explain it. Now, sir, look, sir, this is an emergency between oops. Now, it's fair to a dead certainty that Mr. Phillips is cheating. So whether you want yours, sir, or I've lost my lot.
I beg your pardon? Want my what?
Your false beard, sir. Uncle Ebenezer has just told me that Mr. Phillips bought a war surplus false beard from his emporium.
What? I knew he couldn't have grown a hedge like that overnight.
Quite, sir. And as Pertwee has persuaded the crew to back Mr. Phillips as the favourite, your beard is waiting here now because Pertwee has spent his winnings already. Now glue that on and you'll be refuted to the life. Would you like me to pop it round so that you can try it on for size?
No, Chief, I would not.
What's the matter, sir? He cheated first, so why shouldn't you?
Pertwee, I'll see him and you about this in the morning.
Oh, sir. And the best of British to you and your monocles.
Well, Commander Murray, and you, Chief, I appreciate your reporting this matter of Mr. Phillips's false beard to me, but considering the number of dents, bashes, and bumps he's tried to get away with in the past, I'm not surprised at this latest attempt to cover things up.
I beg your pardon?
He was cheating.
Cheating, yes. Well, that's nothing to do with me. As far as I'm concerned, this is an internal matter within your own ship. My only interest is that the Chief returns my 2.5 new pence each way double on the contest. 5 pence, please, Chief. And I don't take checks.
Here you are, sir. Money refunded?
Not quite, Chief. That's only 4 pence.
Well, 1 new pence deducted for over 8, sir. And with the way the rest of the crew back, Mr. Phillips, they'll be astronomically minimal, sir. However, point made, sir. Overheads waived. Paid in full, sir.
That's better. Yes, Winchester?
The bearded monster from out of space has arrived, sir.
Who?
Sub-Lieutenant Furry Fuzzy Phillips.
Just a minute, sir. Quick, Pertwee, have you got that false beard you phoned me about?
Yes, sir. Here you are, sir. You hook it on over your ear hole, sir.
Right. Captain Pertwee, with your permission, let's teach Noddy a lesson.
Agreed. Send the bearded monster in, Renchason.
Hello, you chap.
Oh, good grief, it's Bernard Shaw.
No, it's not, sir. No, it's me, Lovable Leslie, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, sir. I thought Commander Murray said he'd be here.
I am, Commander Murray.
You can't have grown that lot overnight.
I thought beard the same way you did.
Oh, Clang. Where did you get your beard from?
Mine came via Nunky and the Gosforth and Havant Dramatic Society's touring version of Rip Van Winkle. Where'd you get yours from?
Same place. Nunky bought it after they did the Barrett to Wimpole Street.
All right, Sub-Lieutenant Barrett and Commander Van Winkle, the joke is over. You can take your beards off now.
Right, sir. Here's mine.
Ah, now, there's the snag. I mean, I can't take mine off. You see, I wanted to lower Commander Murray's morale, so I stuck this beard on while mine was growing underneath.
Ah, that's no problem, sir. Nunky's false beard glue comes off with hot water and a trice. Whip it off, sir. You've lost.
Well, not yet, Chief. Huh? There's another snag. You see, after paying for my bet and the false beard, I couldn't afford Nunky's false beard glue.
Well, then what the dickens did you use?
Well, the free sample of wig glue that came with my bottle of Dr. McConaughey's genuine, old-fashioned, all-purpose, fully guaranteed, established 1891 hair restorer, in case it didn't work.
Well, as you can't get your false beard off, we shall declare the contest null and void.
Oh, no! No, no, that won't do at all, sir. No, look, you've got the winter. Well, I've had it with the crew.
I thought you might. Very well, as a consolation prize, Chief, I suggest you search the ship for the bluntest razor blade abroad and assist Mr. Phillips to remove that Ringo Starr disaster. Then we'll judge the contest properly over the next fortnight.
My pleasure, sir. Come along, you little guru in bluey blue. Time to lather up.
Yeah, no. Leave it till it rots.
Now, come along.
No, it'll hurt.
No, of course it won't.
No, even if we do get the beard, I'll still have canvas all over my face.
No.
I demand to make a phone call to Dr. McConaughey. He'll know the answer. He always does.
Come along, Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Thurp, we have been Growing Hair All Over the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CEO, John Thurp was the chief petty officer. Rita was played by Heather Chasen, Captain Purvey was Richard Caldicott, leading team of girls, team of Daniel Evans, and petty officer Perkins was Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.